Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Well, we are beginning a brand new message series in a brand new year, in a brand new decade. And I just want to acknowledge up front, I'm struggling with a bit of a cough on the far side of a cold, so that might be part of the presentation this morning. Anyway, at the start of the new year, we always have high hopes and vast dreams for change and improvement in our lives. We want our lives to be better. We want to be in a better place. We want a better version of ourselves. And so often that leads us to setting New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions. The top resolutions year after year are almost always the same. Eating healthier, exercising more, saving more and spending less, reading more and spending more time with family and friends. All good and great aspirations for sure. This all points to deep desire within us because we know our lives could be better and we know that we could be better. And yet, despite our good and great intentions, most people quickly lose sight of their resolutions. By the second week in February, 80% of New Year resolutions fall or fail. And if you've set resolutions in the past, you might be a little cynical about them right now. You might even be annoyed at me for raising the topic at all. What's the point? Why keep talking about it? Often the major reason that we don't make progress is because we think, well, frankly, too big. In a sense, we think too big in the changes that we're going to make when we would be much better off if we thought small. Instead of thinking in terms of huge changes that we're going to make and the outsized accomplishments that we're going to achieve, we might be more successful, we might be more effective thinking of making tiny little deposits in the right direction. Instead of great, big, bold, impressive resolutions, how about this year if we think instead of modest little habits? Habits. Forming good habits can be so much more satisfying and effective than resolutions. With resolutions, first of all, you put all your happiness in the future. You put it off until you achieve your goal. Resolutions only allow your future self to experience any sense of accomplishment. You only feel good when you get to the point that you've lost all the weight that you want to lose or saved all the money you want to save. And even when you fulfill the resolution, if you do, there's still the temptation or at least the risk to revert back to the old bad habits so that you have to repeat the cycle all over again. Habits, on the other hand, are not about a single accomplishment. They're about how you live. They're about how you live your life. They're about continuing to improve and being committed to continual improvement in which you can celebrate your small wins, even on a daily basis. So let me give you the bottom line challenge to this whole series, the series in a sentence. The challenge is to just start a habit that will improve your life in 2020. That's the only challenge we're going to offer in the course of this series. That's what we want to help you achieve through this series. Form one positive habit in any area of your life that will take you in the right direction. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a spiritual habit, because any good habit impacts us spiritually. Any growth is also spiritual growth, because when we have the discipline to form a good habit, we grow in character. So even if you're here today and you don't consider yourself a church person or a religious person, that's fine. That's great. You can still join our challenge too. Start a new habit. What is a habit anyway? Well, a habit is a practice undertaken regularly and routinely with little or no effort of the mind or the will. It's an automatic response. A habit is something we do regularly and routinely, and it happens over and over and over again. It could be something we do on a daily basis, like brushing our teeth or making coffee in the morning. Or it could be something that we do in response to a specific environment that we find ourselves in. So as soon as you get to your desk at work, you check your email. Or as soon as you get home from school, you change your clothes. The habit could be something that we do once a week or once in a while, like go to church on Sundays or brunch on Saturday mornings. A habit can be seasonal as well, like decorating for Christmas or vacationing at Ocean City. Habits are something we do regularly and routinely, and we do them without much thinking, probably without much effort, and without much willpower. When you brush your teeth, when you lock your front door, when you put on your seatbelt, you do it without thinking. In fact, we're creatures of habit. We love habits because they allow us to grow in our skills and abilities. They create virtuous cycles of growth that lead to even more habits. Habits make our life easier. For example, when we first start driving, it takes such an incredible amount of energy and concentration and focus. There's so much to think about and consider. If you're currently teaching your son or daughter or someone else how to drive, you are freshly reminded of the very different thinking and additional skills that are needed to drive a car. But now, it's just automatic. We don't have to think about it at all. So much so that sometimes we have to be reminded to focus and concentrate on driving. Studies show that 40 to 50% of all our behavior is made up of habits. To leverage habits and their power, it's important to understand how they work. And they really follow a pretty simple template that goes something like this. First of all of our habits, there is some kind of trigger, or what we could call a cue. A cue in the environment that we find ourselves in that tells our brain to go into automatic mode and which habit to use. In turn, that leads to the routine that we have established. And the routine could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. And then finally, at the end of the cycle, there is a reward which helps the brain figure out if the pattern is worth repeating. Because what gets rewarded gets repeated. What gets punished or leads to pain doesn't. Over time, this loop, cue, routine, reward, cue, routine, reward, becomes more and more automatic. Our habits make a huge impact in our lives, that's for sure. However, our current habits don't have to determine our destiny. They can change. We can form different habits, new habits, positive habits, anytime we like. And our habits can lead us to a different destination than the one we currently find ourselves in. They can lead us to a different place. We see all this played out in an unlikely chapter of the gospel story, the story of the Epiphany, which we read about in the Gospel of Mark. The story of the Epiphany always closes the Christmas season, and it goes like this. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star, and we have come to worship." The Magi were so-called wise men, were from Persia, modern-day Iran, so much in the news currently. They were astronomers who closely tracked the movement of heavenly bodies and events and read them as omens or portents of earthly events. The Magi served as advisors to the king and his court, and they were so revered in Persia that they were considered the power behind the throne. Above all, the Magi were experts on the stars because it was their habit to study them nightly. But one night, they see in the sky something quite unexpected, something extraordinary that they had never seen before. It signals to them something important, something different, something new, that someone important was arriving. And because of the position of the stars, they concluded that this concerned the newborn king of the Jews. And so they travel to the palace of the king, King Herod. When Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. We actually know a great deal about Herod from reliable historians of the period. And apparently, one of his overriding habits was paranoia. He thought everybody was out to get him. And he was right. He had secured his throne through very violent and duplicitous means. And in the process, he had earned many enemies. So he was paranoid. But he had other habits too. Narcissism, violence, rage, revenge. He was quite a character. So the news from the Magi that they're reading of the stars suggests the birth of a king, another king, a different king, a new king, plays into every insecurity this guy has. And he responds in a habitual way. First, anger. He's unhappy. And he makes sure everybody around him is unhappy too, because that's the kind of guy he was. Then, intrigue. Herod meets with the Magi secretly because he doesn't want anyone else to know the information that they had. And then eventually, savage violence. He goes on a murderous rampage, as we read later in the story, in an attempt to murder the child. Meanwhile, Matthew tells us, after their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing this star. God uses the Magi's habit of studying the stars to bring them to a new destination, to a place of joy. Their habit brings them joy. Habits, positive habits anyway, any kind of positive habits, can bring us to a place of joy. And in that sense, they can be a gift from God. God can use our positive habits to bring us closer to himself. And the more positive habits we have, the more he has to work with. Our job is to get started, to start the journey. When we begin to move, God can move with us. As I mentioned, the goal of this series is to pick a positive habit, just one that you can focus on and get started in the new year, just one that you can remain accountable for. And I invite you to take the following steps as we get started in this series. First, think of, reflect on where you want to see change most in your life, where you can start a new habit that'll make you more effective at work, or improve dialogue in your marriage, or improve your health, or allow you to pray more, or get a better handle on your finances, or improve your relationship with your kids. Reflect on where you want to see change most in 2020. Second, choose that good habit in the next 24 hours. Don't overthink it. Don't spend a lot of time on it. What comes to mind is probably where you need to begin. As you leave church today, we're handing out these dominoes. I invite you to take one home as a reminder of the habit that you're going to launch. Write down the habit on the domino if you like. Put it in your wallet. Put it on your desk at work. Keep it someplace where you can see it and it can serve as a reminder of the habit you're undertaking. Here's the habit I'm going to focus on, and I will report back on it in the course of this series. Every day this year, I am going to find one positive thing that is going on in my life, no matter what chaos is going on in my life, and I am going to thank God. I'm going to stop and thank God for it each and every day. I'm going to thank God for that thing, that person, that event, that situation. Third, commit to this series. Coming here each week will be a reminder to you to stay on track when it comes to your habit. If you can't join us here on Ridgely Road, you can join us online every Sunday. And if all else fails, you can catch up on the messages anytime during the week online. There's no reason why you can't commit to the series. Imagine a year from now. Imagine 5 years from now. What does that look like? What do you look like because of one simple habit that you adopt today at the beginning of 2020? Spending less, saving more. Complimenting your spouse instead of criticizing them. Reading at night instead of falling asleep to Netflix. Praying for your kids, praying with your kids instead of just being annoyed at them. Start now. You're never too old. It's never too late. One habit could have a domino effect.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.